If fun is therapeutic, then laughter, and laughter at dad's expense, is absolutely medicine for the soul. Bringing fun into the home where there's laughter and laughter at dad's expense is a huge blessing.
You're listening to Parenting on Purpose with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. I'm your host, Ruthie J, and yesterday we talked about the purpose of having fun in your family because it's healthy. It helps the children kind of come off the whole I have to be on top of everything mentality, and having, even if it's just a 2-hour mini vacation during the week, just to keep your sanity, if anything. And how important it is.
Whose sanity are we talking about here? Yes.
So much risk.
Well, today's child has to perform more than we ever dreamed of performing. I mean, there's always, the whole performance thing is continually ramped up. And you had to perform in your generation. I had to perform in my generation. But I didn't have to perform in mine anywhere near as much as you did because we didn't have the mobility. Mm-hmm. And today's child, wow, the things that are expected of today's child. They have resumes, today's child. And today's middle school student, it is recommended that they keep an ongoing list of the things they've accomplished in wins and papers and all these other things. So they are prepared for later on when they apply to college. So they have a resume prepared of how they spent their life. When do they laugh? When do they take a break? I mean, little wonder so many kids today go off to do a 4-year degree and spend 6 years doing it and take some time off. They're exhausted. Mm-hmm. Could I just do nothing? When I thought about fun in our home and talked about it to one of my children, I realized part of the fun that was the most fun was them laughing at me. Part of the fun was me realizing, setting the stage for that, even when they were little, and they had a gift they would give me on my birthday and Father's Day, and the gift was this rubber crab that I think we found somewhere, actually, and it would be in the same box, and every year they would give it to me, and when they were little, I would act like I had no idea what it was. I would open it up, I'd throw the crab up in the air, and they'd be screaming and laughing and holding on to each other, and it was, we tricked Daddy again, and that kind of paradigm and setup continued on into the future of ganging up on dad in games and let's be dad and
poking fun at you.
Oh yeah, and it was so unbelievably valuable, and even to the point where I know this embarrassed them sometimes, but when I pick them up at school, sometimes I'd wear something stupid on my head or whatever it was, just to catch them at that point of stress coming off of school. Would you look at my dad over there in the car? He's acting like that's normal. Laughter at dad's expense is, laughter anyway is wonderful. Laughter at dad's expense or mom's expense and anybody's expense, where we're trying to make something, cook something, do something, accomplish something, and it just doesn't work out. And instead of hiding it, showing it, and setting the kids up to be part of that trick, playing a trick on you. I think we miss that. It's not that hard. We believe fun is something you rent. We believe laughter is something you have to get off of a hilarious YouTube, whatever, rather than being the focal point of the laughter.
Yeah, and I think because we're also so focused on rules and always doing the right thing, oh, that might be disrespectful. Or if we, you know, gang up and do a little trick on, you know, little Bobby or something, oh, am I being a good mom if I'm coming in on this, you know, prank or something on my other child? Is that favoritism? And it's information overload sometimes. You start overthinking things and then you miss out on those fun opportunities.
And I think if there are obvious pranks done to dad, then it's almost a badge of honor when you're the next one. You know, when
I guess you could see it that way.
When dad is the one we did pranks to, how come you don't ever do something to me? I'm big. You can do stuff to me. I think it just makes everybody at moments of time on the same level of the playing field. Now, I hear what you're saying, because there are some that say, well, isn't that disrespectful, or doesn't that kind of negate my authority here? If I need that kind of authority, we're in trouble.
Yeah.
I am the parent. Done. And my no means no. And yes, I agree with you. It's very hard to have fun when the lines on the playing field are blurry and you can't see them.
Mm-hmm.
The lines have to be on the playing field, and we have to spend our time every now and then backing up and saying, whoa, stop, and putting those lines on the field. But then you jump into the field and you know you can say, this is out of bounds at any time. So I personally don't see it as disrespectful, because we've already established that. I see it as necessary for my children to see authority figures don't lord it over other people. Authority figures, you already have the authority.
Mm-hmm.
Using the authority wisely and then using the rest of the time to really have fun. Because if I'm only an authority figure, why would my child ever come to me and say, "Dad, I messed up. Can I talk to you?" Instead, they think, "I hope my dad never finds this out."
Right.
Why would my child ever come and ask me the difficult questions of life? Because they want me to think they're somebody because I'm just an authority figure. I want a relationship with my children. So the authority on the field is something you put down there, the authority in life, so that you can jump in and have a relationship and have fun. And I think that fun includes being laughed at. I think one of the great things in our home that would not have occurred in your home, because Israel's a soccer player, your husband's a soccer player, is I had no clue what soccer was. I mean, I grew up in Washington, D.C., my high school years anyway, and soccer, we did have a soccer team and we did have a soccer stadium at my high school. No one went to the games. Right. It was all about the football and the basketball. And so coming down and realizing how cool soccer is and having Roby get to actually teach me soccer and go play soccer with Roby. And to this day, I don't know what an offsides is. It makes no sense to me. And it was very fun because we were doing something he was teaching his dad.
Mm-hmm.
And it was fun because there was a time when we would go over into the field by our house and play soccer against each other and he'd destroy me.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't even figure out where he was going with the ball and trying to block the goal and the little goals we set up. I think it's in some of the performances we have to do, especially when you find that your children are better at something.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Tori playing the piano, me sit down on the piano and try to play our piano when Tori's a piano player would be hilarious. I think when you have the strength of being an authority figure in your home, and there are times when you take off your authority and get down with them and do stuff with them and that they're laughing at you, Dad, you can't do it that way, and putting the Legos together all wrong or whatever, or playing a game where they win and I have a temper tantrum for losing at Old Maids or whatever it is. I think we miss with our kids. It's just stressful.
Mm-hmm. How about if you're just speaking for the fathers who are very driven and competitive? My husband's like that as well. And I know he has to almost work double to not win because he's just wins games and he's great athletically. And, you know, we can compete, but Dad's always going to win. So whoever wants to be on the winning team needs to be on Dad's team and all that. And he works hard not to win sometimes so that that happens. So as a man, then, do you fight against yourself to be the butt of the joke?
Well, I think I have to find out what the win is. What's the win? Is the win to be the first one around the Monopoly board and win in the soccer, you know, be the one with the most goals? In some cases, it is. In some cases, the win is to engage. It's to engage everybody. We playing Monopoly with some of the children here who didn't want to play Monopoly. It was, oh, this is so boring. And sitting down at the table, and everybody doesn't want to do this. First, let me say everybody doesn't want to do it this way, but there was a child sitting next to me, and she just didn't want to be in on the this at all.
Mm-hmm.
Done. She didn't want to do it. This was lame and all those other things. And trying to get her in meant me reaching over and taking some of her money from her Monopoly pile right in front of her, waiting until she's watching. Everybody's watching. Two of the kids knew this is what he does. And she didn't do anything. She did nothing. She did zero. She just was, first of all, she was dumbfounded that just happened. Did that just happen? You know, at 13 years old. And she commented, and I said, "Well, you know, you're acting like you don't care, and I need more money. So if you don't care, you don't care." And watching her get a wooden Tupperware spoon and wait for me and even move it down a little bit closer on her corner towards me, and me reach and her smack me on the hand. And everybody's laughing and she's laughing and it's at my expense. And it was hilarious.
Right.
The win, we have to redefine the win. And sometimes we go for short-term wins and miss the big win.
Mm-hmm.
And the big win is value to a child. The big win is, this is fun, who cares?
Mm-hmm.
And that makes the whole process even more invigorating, because you're creating a win of, this child will laugh before we're finished tonight. And that's not the roll of a dice. That's got to be much more innovative to get this child in, to get this child laughing. They may never say, this was awesome, thank you very much. But that's okay. I just want them laughing. And I want them to see how ridiculous they can look sometimes when they lose by me losing and complaining and whining and getting up from the chair and doing whatever, so that they're all laughing. I think some of the fun things for my children in reality were the times when, like, they were part of Awana and they're memorizing verses And to this day, they probably would say, my dad's not very good at memorizing verses. They would go to Rosemary and I would go to Rosemary and they would spout their verses. And then Tori would spout her verse. Roby would do his, Tori, and we'd be in the car usually, actually. And I couldn't do it. I could just not get the verse. And them feeling so good, I do something better than dad. And to make them feel they memorize verses better than me, so they'll go after memorizing more verses, huge win. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can't even tell you how many verses they know this day because initially it wasn't for the spiritual value of memorizing verses. I do this better than dad. So what am I really teaching in this fun? I want to use fun, even when it's at my expense, to help them have fun, but help them feel better about themselves, but help them do this, something like memorizing verses. That was a riot. It was great.
Now, yesterday you talked also about maybe some of the lessons that you learn or you teach while you're doing fun, the competitiveness of a game and all that stuff. So what if, again, you want a competitive game and the kids are not into it? Because like things that have happened with the children's homes.
Yeah, and I'm a big one that competition is fun. Everything here is competitive. Mm-hmm. But
not every child is competitive.
They're not, and some of them are afraid of competition, and mm-hmm. some parents are afraid of competition for their kids. But I wanted them to know you are not defined or valued by whether you win or lose. And so in the competition, you know, whether it's the NCAAs or whatever it is, and we're all kind of laughing about what we think it's going to be or whatever it is, I want the children here to be able to go out on a paddleball court with me, and whether they win or lose, irrelevant. We're having fun out here, and I'm hitting the ball as hard as I can every time, and they are too, and it's just hilarious, and they get one by me, and it's even more hilarious. But we have to get past being the last American Idol standing on the stage defines who I am, and that's kind of the message they're given. Last one on the island, last one in the house, last one on the stage, last one dancing, and that's the person we affirm, and that's the celebrity. Mm-hmm. We have to help them not be defined by the last one in the pageant. And I know this sounds so, that's a nice thought, Bob, but it's not real. At least you tried. Shame on you for not trying. And how much fun was that trying? And did you enjoy it? Because if you're not enjoying it, then wow. Mm-hmm. And so competition and doing competition over things in the home, and we competed over who gets to the car first,
had a lot of fights then too.
No, it was hilarious going through the door. And when they were little, saying things to them, I bet you can't buckle your car seat by yourself, can you? When they were three, and watching her get it. Hmm. I can do it. And then putting her in the car seat and running around to my door while she's buckling and me fumbling with my buckle. Well, number one, she thought she did it better than me and faster than me. Number two, I taught her how to put the car seat on without me having to do it. Yeah, and I taught her that it was a valuable thing to know how to put your car seat on. Mm-hmm. And then when the whole family's competing, and we would compete over who would see a blue car first. And, you know, I'd miss it every time, and they'd be cheering and cheering and cheering. It's fun, and it's fun when it's at dad's expense because dad's such a benchmark initially. Mm-hmm. That I want to be like when I grow up initially. Mm-hmm. But if there's no love out of dad and there's no affirmation out of dad, then dad's just the place I want to get out of this house as fast as I can. Mm-hmm. I want to bring fun back home that's not costly and not just financially costly. That's another day we'll talk about. That's not costly to my self-esteem. Mm-hmm. There's so much fun today that's berating. It's fun to berate other people. It's fun to bully other people. It's fun to be on the winning team. It's fun to be in the winning group at all costs. It's fun to win and conquer on a date. No, it's not. And so there were just times when we had to incorporate fun and ridiculous things such as, all right, you know, you're not allowed to spend the night in our bed, but tonight we're all going to be in the big bed until I say, and we're going to watch something on television together. And then someone would say, can we bring food into the bed? And I'd say, oh, not popcorn. We cannot. And Rosemary's already making the popcorn and it's already coming. And there's going to be popcorn seeds in my bed that I have to sleep in. And I would whine and complain, who did this? Who left this one here? And they're all dying laughing. I just want them laughing. I want there to be moments where we lighten up. It's a very stressful life for today's child. Are we bringing things from our family that's a breath of fresh air called fun?
You've been listening to Parenting on Purpose with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. I'm your host, Ruthie J. We're covering the topic of the value of fun this week. And if you missed any part of today's program or yesterday's, you can hear them all over again at parentingonpurpose.org. You can even search for other parenting topics and sign up to get the program automatically, either through podcast or email that comes along with a blog too. Again, it's parentingonpurpose.org. And to find out more about Sheridan House Family Ministries, the Boys and Girls Homes, there's a counseling center and a lot of resources that you can find online. All the proceeds go to help the children's homes. Go to shfm.org. That's short for Sheridan House Family Ministries. And we hope you join us tomorrow as we continue to talk about the value of fun on Parenting on Purpose.